Today's daf is Shabbos Daf Chof Tes, and we are at the Mishnah, about 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Chof Ches Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avram Ben Gittel, Shlomo Zev Ben Chaya, Yechiel Yosef Ben Sara, Yitzchak Eliyahu Ben Chaya Sara, Henech Yisrael Ben Esther Necha, Avram Kadesh Ben Malka Bela, Gavriel Tzvi Ben Yutka, Yosef Tzvi ben Chaya Henela, Chaya Rachel Etel Basholamis, Hillel ben Chava Yenta. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, Malia Bas Rab Yosef, and Sara Bas Toba Esther. So we're continuing to discuss the halachos of Bameh Madlikin and Bameh Ein Madlikin. Today's daf is deceptively intense. We're going to see a little bit more Tumah V'Tahara, but really it's the calm before the storm, or the storm before the calm, depending on how you want to look at it, because really starting from tomorrow's daf, Daf Lamed, we're going to have four dafin of Haggadah, where the daf is going to feel, again, a lot about brachas. But between now and then, we have to make it through Shabbos Daf Chof Tes, which is a very geshmaka daf, albeit, hashtag, you have to hold cup, says the Mishnah, psilas habeged shekipla v'loy hivava. If somebody has a beged, he took the beged and he decided that he wants to use it as a wick. So he folded over the beged the way one would if he were to use it as a wick, but he didn't singe it. So once upon a time, if you were going to use a beged as a whip, you would do two things. Number one, you would fold it. Number two, you would expose it to fire. You would singe it. So this person was kipla, but v'loy hivava, says the Mishnah, Rebbe Eliezer, oy mitmeya. Rebbe Eliezer says that this wick, shekipla v'loy hivava, is mekabel toma, number one. Number two, ve'emad likim, but you're not allowed to use it as a wick for Neira Shabbos. It falls into the category of bameh emad likim. Rebbe Kiva says to Haira, it's not mekabel toma, umad likim, and as it relates to Shabbos, you'd be allowed to use it for Shabbos. So essentially, two machloikasin between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva regarding a psilas habeged shekipla v'loy hivava. Again, the metzia says you have a beged, you took the beged, you folded it over, however, you didn't singe it yet. So you're somewhere in the midst of converting it from a beged to a wick. Rebbe Eliezer says it's mekabel toma. Rebbe Eliezer says you can't use it as a psila for Shabbos. Rebbe Akiva says it's not mekabel toma. Rebbe Akiva says you're allowed to use it as a wick for Shabbos. Zok de Gemar. Bishleim ali inyan tumo. Bishleim as it relates to the machlekes, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Akiva, whether this psilas habeged shekipla v'loy hivava is mekabel tumah, not mekabel tumah. I understand what the machlekes is. B'ha plikit, Rebbe Eliezer, Sav Rebbe Eliezer, must hold kipul einoy moyo. Merely folding a beged with the intention of converting it into a wick doesn't make it into a wick. As a result, ubemilsa kamaisa kaima. We still look at it as a beged. If we still look at it as a beged, it's going to be mekabel tumah. Rabbi Akiva, sub Rabbi Akiva holds kippul mayel, that folding it over is significant, ubetule batal, and by doing that alone, you take away its status as being a beged. It's a wick. If it's a wick, tahira, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. In other words, a beged is mekabel tumah. A wick is not mekabel tumah. Why? I am mesechtes kelim. But a beged is mekabel tumah. A wick is not mekabel tumah. The question is, you have a beged, you're in the midst of converting it into a wick. Do you look at it as a beged? Do you look at it as a wick? If you look at it as a beged is mekabel tumah. If you look at it as a wick is not mekabel tumah. If it was a psilas habeged shekifla vihivava, it'd be a full-fledged wick. It certainly wouldn't be mekabel tumah. If it was a psilas habeged that you only had the intention of maybe using as a psila, but you didn't even fold it over, it certainly would be a beged. It would certainly be mekabel tumah. The question is, where you're in the midst of the process of converting it. It was kipla v'lo hivava. Rebbe Eliezer says that kipul einoy moyel. As a result, it's still a beged. If it's still a beged, it's going to be mekabel tumah. Rebbe Akiva says kipul moyel. As a result, it's a psila. If it's a psila, it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So the Gemara says, that I understand. That's easy. Now we'll see later in the sugya, it's not so clear that this is the pshat. The Gemara is going to introduce another pshat and what the machloikis Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva might be. But for now, the Gemara says that this would seem to be rather obvious what the machloikis might be. Elin, you're not lucky, but might plead. But as it relates to the other machloikis in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, whether a psilas habega, chikipla, v'loi hivava, it can be used for Neir Shabbos, or it can't be used for Neir Shabbos. What's the hezber in the machloikis? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Loza, Amar Rabbi Shaya, v'chein Amar Rab Adabar Ahava. So the names are going to matter. It was Rabbi Loza in the name of Rabbi Shaya, and it was Rabbi Adabar Ahava. They both said the same terz. We're dealing over here not with any beged that you're converting into a wick. Rather, begimel al gimel mitzum tzomei saskin. We're dealing with a beged that was exactly 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois. What's the significance of 3 etzbois by 3 etzbois as it relates to Tumah? We saw that earlier in the week. That's the minimum shear that a beged has to be in order for it to be able to be makabel Tumah. So this was the minimum shear. Additionally, we're not dealing with any Erev Shabbos. Rather, we're dealing with an Erev Shabbos that also happens to be Yontif. Says the Gemara, the Kuli Yam Yisul Rabbi Yehuda. Not just that, the next Tanach, everybody holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Dama Masikim Bekelim, they Masikim Beshivrei Kelim. We'll see later there was a machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon whether Noilad is Aser on Shabbos and Yontif, or specifically on Yontif, or Noilad is not Aser on Yontif. Something that was created on Yontif, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is considered to be mukta. As a result, you're not allowed to use it on Yontif. According to Rab Shimon, Noilad is not considered mukta. You are allowed to use it on Yontif. This is Rab Yehuda and Rab Shimon Lashita Sayu, who argue throughout Masech the Shabbos and really throughout Shas, how far to take the concept of mukta. The Gemara will often say, Rab Yehuda islay mukta, Rab Shimon leslay mukta. But as we mentioned many times, that's one of the great misnomers of all time, because really, Rab Shimon also holds a mukta. In fact, we paskin like Rab Shimon regarding mukta, and we have a Simon Shin Ches in Hilchas Shabbos, which deals with all the halachas of mukta. Every little child is familiar with mukta, even though we hold like Reb Shimon, who's like say mukta. The machloikas is how far you take mukta. One of the applications of the machloikas, Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, is noilad. Noilad on yontif, beish and all the yontif. Is it aser or is it not aser? Says the Gemara, as it relates to our Mishnah, everybody, meaning Reb Eliezer and Reb Yekiva, both of the opinion that you're allowed to use kalim, you're allowed to use a complete keli on yontif to fuel your fire. But ema sikib shivrei kalim, you're not allowed to use a keli that broke on yontif as a fire. You can use shivrei kalim if the keli broke before yontif, but you can't use shivrei kalim if the keli broke on yontif. The reason is because it's noilad. Because in the beginning of yontif, it wasn't broken. Now it broke. It's panim chadashes bo'ukan. We look at it as something new. It's like a beish and all the yontif. And as a result, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's going to be a problem. Additionally, the Gemara says, everybody holds like Ula Damar Ula. Ula said, Hamadlik tzarech sheyadik berei vayoytze. When somebody lights candles Friday night, it's not enough to just light the wick. You actually have to light the majority of the portion of the wick that's protruding outside of the oil. And unless you light that much, you're not mikayim, your mitzvah's hadlaka. Either way, we just made 4 assumptions. Number one, we're dealing with a beggar that was gimel atzbois, al gimel atzbois. Number two, it's a yontif shecholiyos Erev Shabbos. Not just any Erev Shabbos, it's a yontif shecholiyos Erev Shabbos. Everybody holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that's the third assumption, that mesikin bekelim, the aim mesikin b'shivrei kelim, you're not allowed to use shivrei kelim. And finally, everyone holds a vula that when you light candles Friday night, you have to light the majority of the portion of the psila that's on top of the shemen. Okay, what does this have to do with our machlokes? Rabbi Eliezer, so the reason Rabbi Eliezer holds a madlikin with this psila on Shabbos is because he holds kipolein ma. This is Rabbi Eliezer Lishitasei, who held that psila sabeget shekipla v'lo hivava tmeya. It's makabel tuma. Why was it makabel tuma? Because the kipol didn't change its status from beged to psila. As a result, we still look at it as a beged. If you still look at it as a beged, kiven da adik baporta, once you light it, have a lo shever kli. So now we look at it as a broken beged, so to speak. You look at it as a shever kli, a keli that broke on yontif. V'chikam madlik b'shever kli kamadlik. And as a result, you're not allowed to use it anymore because now you're using a shever kli. So the reason Rabbi Eliezer holds in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to use this psilas habegat shekibla is because it's a shever kli, and he holds, everybody holds, we said like Rabbi Yehuda, that you can't be madlik with a shever kli. Rabbi Kiva sava kipul mayel. Rabbi Kiva, however, holds that kipul is mayel. This is Rabbi Akiva l'shitasai, who said that psilas habegat shekibla v'lehivilva was tahira, it's not mekabel tuma. If it's not mekabel tuma, what does that mean? That means that it's a psila. If it's a psila, it's not a beged. If it's not a beged, it's not a kli. If that's the case, once you light it, it's not a shever kli. If it's not a shever kli, all it is a piece of wood. And as a result, you're allowed to use it. Exhale for a second. In other words, what the Gemara just said was that the machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, whether or not you're allowed to use this psila for Shabbos, is really the same exact machloikas, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, whether or not it's mekabel toma. The machloikas is whether kipel moil or kipel ein moil. As it relates to toma, it's very straightforward. Kipel moil, it's a psila, it's not a beged, it's not mekabel Tumma. If kipel's ena moil, it's a beged, it's not a psila. As a result, it would be mekabel tumma. As it relates to Shabbos, it's a little trickier. What's the beer in the machloikis? The machloikis is, if you look at it as a beged, because kipel is ena moil, then what will happen is, as soon as you light it, it's a beged that burnt. It's like a keli that broke. It's a shever keli. If it's a shever keli, I'm not allowed to use it. If, however, we don't look at it as a beged because kipel was mayel, so then it's not a keli. If it's not a beged, it's not a keli. We're using those words synonymously. If it's not a keli, then when I light it and it starts burning, it's not a shever keli. If it's not a shever keli, I have no problem of Reb Yehuda, that I'm using something that's noilat anyantif, I'm using a shever keli. So again, the machlekes is kipa mayel, kipa ein mayel. What does that have to do with this? Is it a keli? Is it not a keli? Why does that matter? If it's a keli, then when you light it, it's a shever keli. I'm not allowed to use a shever keli. If it's not a keli, then it's not a shever keli. All it is eitz ba'alma. As a result, I'd be able to use it. But the Gemara says that really, in order for this to work, you have to make two assumptions that the Gemara spoke out. Number one, you have to make an assumption that the keli, or the psila, the beged, was exactly gimelat spais al gimelat spais. Why? Because if it was bigger than gimelat spais al gimelat spais, let's say it was 4 spais by 4 spais, and now you lit it. So if, as long as after you light it, it's still gimelat spais al gimelat spais, you wouldn't look at it as a shever keli. It's only a shever keli if you broke it to the point that it's not a keli anymore. You burnt it to the point that it's not a beged anymore. But it still is a beged, because as long as it's gimelat spais al gimelat spais, it's still a beged. So how could you ascertain for sure that by lighting it, it won't be gimelat spais al gimelat spais? By making the assumption that it started off being exactly gimelat spais al gimelat spais. If it started off exactly gimel al gimel, then when you lit it, it's certainly going to be now less than gimel al gimel. But you have to make one more assumption. And that is, you have to say that they both hold of ula, that hamadlik tzarech sheyadlik berev yoytze. You have to light the majority of the wick, at least the portion of the wick that you can light, that's protruding from on top of the oil. Why do you have to make that assumption? Because if you wouldn't have to do that, even if it was exactly gimelat spais al gimelat spais, when you lit it, it was a beged. So if when you lit it, it was a beged. When you lit it, it was a keli. It wasn't a shever keli, so what's the problem? The fact that later it becomes a shever keli can't be the issue, because if that was the issue, you'd never be able to light, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even a total keli, because after you light it, it's always going to be a shever keli. The Torah says you have to look at what it's like at the time of that vaka. So at the time of that vaka, it was gimel al gimel. So even if it's gimel at spice, I'll gimel at spice exactly, but as long as I lit it at that time, so what's the issue if later it starts breaking? You know what the teretz is? Ula holds that when you light tzarech sheyadlik berev hayotzei, that means the maisa hadlaka of hadlakas neir Shabbos isn't completed when you light it. It needs to do more than just light. You need to light the roiv of the yotzei. It's going to be more than that initial second. Once you pass that initial second, it's not gimelat spais al gimelat spais anymore. That's why it's a shever keli. That's why if you hold it's a beged, like Rebbe Eliezer does, you're going to end up having a problem. So it's very geschmack. Really, the machloikis says the Gemara of whether or not psilas habeged shekipla is tmei or not tmei. And the machloikis of psilas habeged shekipla is madlikim bar, not madlikim bar, really boils down to the same thing. It boils down to whether or not you look at it as a beged or you look at it as a psila. What is that dependent on? Kipel moil or kipel ena moil. Rabbi Eliezer holds kipel ena moil, whereas Rabbi Akiva holds kipel moil, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef heard all this. And he said, Hainu de Tanina, now I understand. Pshat in a braisa. There was a braisa, Rabbi Yosef said, that I always knew, and I never understood. I never knew what Mishnah this braisa was attaching itself to. Meaning, often the braisas came to clarify Mishnahs. He said, there was a braisa that I knew was coming to explain a Mishnah, and I had no idea which Mishnah it was. Now I know, said Rabbi Yosef. The braisa says as follows, Gimel Mitzum Tzomis. The braisa was explaining a Mishnah. He said, there's a Mishnah somewhere in Shishi Sidri Mishnah, and that Mishnah you have to make a Kimta is talking about, where it was three at spice or three at spice. He said, I had no idea which Mishnah was coming to was referring to. But Le'edan Olamai Hilchasa, says Rabbi Yosef, now I know what it is. It's this Mishnah. Because
one of the oikimtas we had to make in order to explain the machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva, where the psilas abegat shkipla vlohivava madlika ba'e madlikim ba'es, say that the Mishnah was talking where it was exactly gimel etzbois, al gimel etzbois. Oh, that must be the Mishnah that Braisa was referring to, says the Gemara. Who said this teretz? Who is the one that said that the machloikis Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva regarding madlikim ba'e madlikim ba'e is kipul mayel, kipul enei mayel? Based on all the assumptions. Number one, the Akimta, that it's Gimelet Spies, Al Gimelet Spies. Number two, it was Yantiv Shechaliyos, Be'erev Shabbos. That's why you have the whole Noilad issue. Number three, Kuli Alma, everybody holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that there's something called Noilad on Yantiv. And number four, everybody holds like Ula, that Hamadlik, it's not enough to just light it, but Tzarech Sheyadlik Beroiva Yoti. Who said it? It was Rabbi Lozin, the name of Rabbi Shaya. And it was Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava. Says the Gemara, how could Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava said this? Reflect the Gemara, Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava, libid Rabbi Yehuda. Shema, mid the commentary to Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava, libid Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava said this in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Shema, no Rabbi Yehuda's feel. It certainly sounds like he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. But a miyam Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava hachi is the actual bummer. Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava. Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava said, Nachri shechak akad v'akas Yisrael. If a Nachri, a non-Jew, goes and he carves out a little piece of wood from a log of wood that belonged to a yid, that loch is masik beyantif. Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava said, if you want to use it on yantif, you're allowed to use it on yantif. What's the Gemara's kash about my? Why does Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava hold you're allowed to use it on Yontif? Noilad who? Isn't this Noilad 101? It's Noilad. This log was created, this kav, on Yontif itself. It should be Yontif if Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava holds like Rabbi Yehuda, because that was the Oikimta that he made in the Mishnah, that everybody holds like Rabbi Yehuda, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehuda. It certainly sounds like, and Rabbi Akiva, so it certainly sounds like he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. If he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, why is this okay? Nachri shakakat kav bivakas Yisrael masika biyontif. Isn't it Noilad? So the Gemara says, you have to say, L'devrem, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Komalei, V'lei lo sfirlei. Rav Adar Bar Ahava really doesn't hold of Noilad. You see from this halacha, you're allowed to use the piece of wood that was carved out of a log on Yontif, even though it's Noilad, must hold like Rav Shimon, who's Leslei Mukta, who's Mekel in the laws of Mukta, who doesn't hold of this problem of Noilad. If that's the case, why did he explain the Mishnah that way? He was explaining the Mishnah. He was explaining Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva the Mishnah, but as it relates to himself, he doesn't hold that way. Either way, going back to the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we had two machlokes in between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Psilas abegat shekipel v'lo hivava. Tmei or tahira, madlikimba or ein madlikimba. So we said that what's the machlokes whether madlikimba or ein madlikimba? It's the same machlokes of tmei or tahira. Kipel mayo, kipel ein mayo, with the whole Aikimta, the four different hanachis that we had to make. Rava says, I have a much simpler pshat in the other machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Whether you can use a Psilas habeget shekipla for lohivava and yontif or not. What's the hezber and the machlokes? It's lafisha e kaimed the Rabbi Eliezer. Pshat and Rabbi Eliezer is lafisha e madlikim b'psilas sheinim mechureches. You're not allowed to use a wick that wasn't singed before Shabbos. For loibes martutin sheinim mechurechin. You can't use a shmata that wasn't singed either. And the reason is because if you don't singe it first, it's not going to take to the fire so well, and as a result, it's going to be a problem. Either way, the reason of psilas habeget shekipla lohivava according to Rabbi Eliezer has nothing to do with super duper lumdis. It has nothing to do with noilad. It has nothing to do with the halach of amadlik tzarech shiadik berev ayotze. It wasn't dafka yontif shechalias berev Shabbos. You don't have to make an akimta that was gimel etzbois al gimel etzbois. You don't have to get involved in the laws of tumah v'tairis. It's very straightforward. Rabbi Eliezer has a very basic halacha. A madlikim v'psila shaloi hivava before yontif. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, alohad tani Rabbi Yosef gimel al gimel metzum tzomois l'may hilchasa. So when Rabbi Yosef had this braisa that said gimel al gimel etzbois boys, mitzum tzamois, and he wasn't sure what that braisa, which Mishnah was coming to explain. Rabbi Yosef said that based on the pshat that Rabbi Lazar sent the name of Rabbi Shaya, the chenom Rabbi Adar Bar Ahava was coming to explain our Mishnah. But now the Rav has a different pshat on our Mishnah, it's not coming to explain our Mishnah. So what is it coming to explain? So the Gemara says it's l'inyan tumah, and it's coming to explain a Mishnah in the 28th parak of Masechtas Kehilim, the Tanan, Gimel al Gimel Shamru, when we know the halacha is that the minimum shir of a beged has to be three etzbois or three etzbois. It's chutz min amelah, it's without the hem. So a beged often will have a hem, even if very small baguette will have a hem. So is the hem included in the gimel al gimel, or is it not included in the gimel al gimel? That's the machlokes. Tanakhama says it doesn't include the malav. Divrei Rav Shimon Chachamim, and gimel al gimel mechuvanes. No, it's exactly 3 by 3. Don't worry about hems. It's exactly 3 by 3. Oh, it's exactly 3 by 3. What Braisa was coming to explain that, it's this Braisa that said gimel al gimel mechuvanes, who was referring to this Mishnah. Chachamim said gimel al gimel mechuvanes. That's what the Braisa was saying when it said gimel al gimel mechuvanes. Just one light ha'ara. Before we go weiter, so the Gemara mentioned Rabbi Eliezer's halacha that ein madlikim bepsila she'ena mechureches v'loy besmartutin she'ena mechurachin. Before you use a psila, you have to light it first. You have to singe it first. That's one of the things that you have to do. The truth is there's a minig that people do it today. But that's really only a minig because the mitzias of why one would have to do it, and the reason Rabbi Eliezer said in this Mishnah and Daf Chav Ches on the day is that this is an obligation, it's something you have to do, is because otherwise it's gzeira shamayat. All the problems you have with all the psilas and the shmonim of the Mishnah in Perek Mamem Adlikin, you'll have with a psila shaloi hivava. There's a real problem that the fire isn't going to be oil yofa, it's not going to take so well. Today it's really all a minig. In fact, a minig is that the man is the one that does it, and not the woman. So I'll tell you something interesting. The Mishnah says, we're all familiar with the Mishnah, it's actually later in Perek Pamem Adlikim, Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, Al Sholesh Averois, Noshim Meseis. There are three Averois that cause women to die. B'shas Leidasa, while they have children, meaning during childbirth. Al She'en Adziris Benida, they're not careful in Hilchas Nida. B'chala, they're not careful with the mitzvah of Afrashas Chalu. U'badlok Asaner, and they're not careful with lighting the Neiris. Nita, Chala, and Ner, these are three mitzvahs that women have. And it's Al Sholesh Averois, Noshe Meisois, B'shas Leidasan. It's these three things. They're not careful with Nida, they're not careful with Chala, and they're not careful with Adlok Asaner. Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Agoyis on Mishnayis, asks a Gevaldig Akasha. It's a subtlety, but it's a great question. He says, why is it that by chala, the Mishnah just said they're not careful with chala? By neiros, it says, ube hadlokas aner. Be consistent. Either it should have said hafroshas chala and hadlokas aner, or it should have said chala and ner. Why is it by the ner we describe the maisa, hadlokas aner, and by chala we just mentioned the term chala, as opposed to saying hafroshas chala? Says Reb Kiva Eger, that could be pshat is based on a tikune zayah. So this is a Reb Kiva Eger who quotes a tikune zayah. He says, because the tikune zayah says that even though the woman is the one that's supposed to light the neiros Shabbos, but the man is supposed to prepare the neiros. So says Reb Kiva Eger, the woman is responsible for the ner, but not for all things related for the ner. It's only the hadlokas aner. By the chala, every aspect of Hafrasha's chala belongs to the woman. It's her responsibility. It's her achrayas. As a result, you just say chala. You don't have to emphasize Hafrasha's chala. But by the neir, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, bring that to Tikkun Ezayir, says, who's the one that's supposed to singe it? Who's the one that's supposed to prepare it? That's the husband's job. So being that that's the husband's job, so the Mishnah didn't say you b'ner. B'ner, mechatesi, the woman is not responsible for the ner. Which chalik of the ner is she responsible for? It's the hadlokas aner. So that's why by chala, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, it said chala. But by Neiros, it said, Hadlaka Saner, says the Gemara. So we mentioned the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding the halacha of Noilad on Yontif. So if something was created on Yontif itself, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's very machmer in the laws of Muktzah, you're not allowed to use it on Yontif. According to Rabbi Shimon, who's makel in the laws of Muktzah, Rabbi Shimon's less like Muktzah, you would be allowed to use it on Yontif, says the Gemara on that note. Rabbi Yehuda, a person's allowed to light a fire on Yontif using a complete keli, because that's not muktzah, but you're not allowed to light a fire using a shard of a keli. Again, a keli that broke on Yontif. Why? It's noilat, it's muktzah, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon matter, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. Similarly, masikim b'tmarim, you're allowed to use dates as fuel for fire on Yontif. Achlan, if you ate the date, e masikim b'garineh, you're not allowed to use its pits, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon matter, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter. The reason is because the pit is considered noilat. The pit's considered noilad because before you ate the fruit, you didn't see a pit, you saw a fruit. The pit was tucked away inside the fruit. Now that you have the pit, we look at it as noilad, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, that noilad is a problem. The halacha is, you're not allowed to light a fire using a keli that broke on Yontif. You're not allowed to use a pit of a fruit either. Masiki begoyzim, you're allowed to use nuts as fuel for fire. Achlan, if you ate the nut, e masiki beklupaisem, you're not allowed to use its shell. Divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon matter, Rabbi Shimon's mutter. Again, Yehuda holds that the shell of the nut is considered noilad, even though it was there the whole time, but it was a shell, it was part of a nut. Once you ate the nut, so now you look at the shell as a panim chadashis, it's a new entity, it's in a new status. As a result, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a problem, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter. So the Gemara essentially gave three examples of this machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding the halacha of noilad. The first one was shivrei kelim, the second one was the pit of a fruit, the third one was the shell of a nut, and the Gemara says, v'tzrichi need all three. Yes, when Gemara said, we only had the first one, but he come, Rabbi Yehuda, I would think this, where Rabbi Yehuda said, as halacha of noilad, mishum debikar kelim, v'hashta shever kelim. Because before you broke the keli, it was a keli. Now it's a shard of a keli. That's completely different. That's for sure noilad. The havalei noilad. The avot tamarim. But as relates to the fruit, the mikara garin, the hashta garin, and the pit itself didn't change. The pit was always there. You just didn't see it. So Emesh Apidami, who said that's Noila? That's why it has to be clear that Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon argued in that case as well. Yeshmin Garin had we had the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon regarding the pit. I would have thought to be Karmi Chasim Vashem Megali. The reason that's considered part of Mechadash is because until you ate the fruit, you couldn't see the pit. Now you could see the pit. But the shell of the nut, the Mikar Megalu Vahash Megalu, you were able to see it then and you're able to see it now. Emesh Apidami. So you would think that maybe that's Mutter. So the Gemara says, Tricha, that's why Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav that the Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Shimon was in all three cases. Says the Gemara. V'had the Rav, the truth is this statement that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, La Beferish Itmar, Ela Mechlale Itmar. Rabbi Yehuda really never heard Rav say it. Rather, he deduced it from a Maisa Rav, pun intended, from something that he saw and observed by his Rebbe Rav. What happened? The Rav Achal Tamri. Rav once ate a date, V'shada Kashayisa Labuchya, and he took the pit and he threw it into a fire. Amalei Reb Chiya. So Reb Chiya, Rav's uncle, was there. And he said, Bar Pachsi, Kineg Debi Yontif Asa. You should know that if you would do this on Yontif, it would be a problem. You can't take a pit and throw it into a fire on Yontif. Why? Because it's Noila. I'll leave it to Rav Yehuda. It would be a problem. So Rav Yehuda said, I heard Reb Chiya tell this to Rav. Rav was quiet. Sounds like Rav was Maida. So Rav Yehuda walked around peddling this halach in the name of Rav that he really never heard Rav say. It was Lab Beferish Itmar, Ela Michlal Itmar. He assumed that if this is what Rav Chiya told Rav, that to take a pit and throw it into a fire on Yontif is a problem because you're going to benefit from Noila, then Rav probably holds that way. But the Gemara says, one second, Kibla Minei Oloi Kibla Minei. I know Rav Yehuda thought Kibla Minei, but between us, did Rav really agree with what Rav Chiya said? So the Gemara says, let's see if we can figure it out. Tashma, Chiyas, Rav LeBavel. When Rav came to Bavel, so Rav, we know, was born in Eretz Yisrael. He was a Talmud of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. He was the first generation of Amiram. And then at some point, Rav left Eretz Yisrael and he went to Bavel, and he, together with Shmuel, became the Gedolei Adar in Bavel. And the Gemara says in Gittin Davav and in other places that Bavel changed once Rav came to Bavel. When Rav arrived in Bavel, it was a game changer to the landscape of what the Jewish world looked like at that time. Rav built the yeshiva. Rav was mekarev, rechaykim, tatlofush. We spoke a lot about that in Masechtos Chulin, and we have raid bites on that. But Bavel would never be the same as soon as Rav arrived in Bavel. So the Gemara says, one of the things that happened when Rav came in Bavel, he ate a date, Achal Tamri. And the Gemara says, Veshada Kashayisa L'chayusa. And he took the pit, he didn't throw it into the fire, which is the case we're talking about, but he fed it to the animals, which is the same difference. And this happened on Yontif. So the Gemara says, Rav took a pit and he gave it to an animal on Yontif. Why was he allowed to do that? Isn't it Noilat? But first the Gemara has to ascertain what type of date this was. My lab, the Parsi also, he was probably in Bavel eating the Persian dates. So if he was eating the Persian dates, what was unique about that, says Rashi, is that the Persian date, all the fruit was very easily removed from the pit itself, which means the pit had no fruit on it. And if it had no remnants of fruit on it, no shirayim, so it was real Noilad. If it was real Noilad and Rav took it and he threw it to the animals, so must be he holds that Rabbi Yehuda never said his halach of Noilad in that case. Must be V'loi Kibla, but the Gemara says, Loi, it's not Muchach. Maybe Ba'armiyasa. Maybe it was from the Armenian types of dates. And V'hoyo V'chazi Agav Gimayu, being that it has a little bit of fruit on it, so it's not really Noilad. That's why Rav didn't have a problem with it. But otherwise, it could be he would have had an issue with it. Tosfos incidentally says that how are we going to prove anything from Rav anyways? Meaning we're trying to figure out, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that Rabbi Yehuda, who says his halacha of Noilad, he said it whether it's Shivrei Kelim, whether it's the pit of a fruit, or even the shell around the nut. That's the biggest chiddush. That's all considered Noilad. The Gemara said the truth is that even though Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, he never really heard Rav say it. But he assumed this is the way it was based on a story that happened. And then the Gemara says, but it's not so muchach that Rabbi Yehuda interpreted that story, right? So let's see if we can figure it out for ourselves. And the Gemara says, I can prove it from somewhere else. Because Rav once ate a date, and Michiyasa Rav Lobavel, and he took the pit and he gave it to the animals. Why would he have given it to the animals? Isn't it Noilad? Or must be, he holds it's not Noilad. Frey Toysfis, I don't understand the kasha. Maybe Rav really holds it is Noilad. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda got it right, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds Noilad as Aser, a pit would be Noilad. But maybe Rav fed it to the animals because he held like Rav Shimon, who's left Ktzalei Mukta, who holds Noilad as Mutta. By the way, we hold like Rav Shimon, so why couldn't Rav hold like Rav Shimon? As I freak Tosfos. How are we proving what Rav holds Aliba de Rav Yehuda from what Rav did? If you knew for a fact that Rav held like Rav Yehuda, checkmate. But maybe Rav held like Rav Shimon. Says, Tosfos, you have to hold Cheshbin, because we had this already. It was a Gemara and Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis in the end of Perek Yetzias HaShabbos, where the Gemara very briefly mentioned that it's a machloikas Rav and Shmuel, whether we paskin like Rav Yehuda in Mukta or we paskin like Rav Shimon in Mukta. And the Gemara there said that Rav paskin like Rav Yehuda who's Islay Mukta. Oh, if Rav holds like Rav Yehuda who's Islay Mukta, and now we ate a fruit and he took the pit on Yontif and he gave it to an animal, must be he holds. It's not Noila, because we know he holds like Rav Yehuda who's Islay Mukta. But then the Gemara was Daicha, you have to know what kind of date it was. If it was a Persian date, you have a raya. But nobody says that it was really a Persian date. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Chana l'Rav Yosef. This next Gemara is a Lamdisha Gemara. The Rabbi Huda Damer Masikim Mekelim Masikim Shabrei Kelim. Could Rabbi Huda hold that you let a light a fire on Yontif using a complete keli, but you're not allowed to use the shard of a keli? Kibud Adik Bo Porto says, I don't understand how this works. The minute you light the fire with the keli, Havelu Shabrei Kelim, it's going to become a shever keli. The Chikam Mahapich. Now, if you're going to be Mahapich, you're going to stoke the coals, which on Shabbos is a terrible thing. Gzeir Hashem Yechata B'cholin. So many halachas and Hilchos Shabbos were instituted as a gzeir. You might do that. But on Yontif, you're allowed to. But the problem over here is the minute it's a Shever Keli, you're stoking the coals of the Shever Keli. B'yisura kamahapach. It's a problem. Now you're doing an Isser. Meaning, the fact that the Keli becomes a Shever Keli and lights and just burns by itself, that thing has no problem with. Like we mentioned at the beginning of the Daf. Because that happens b'memela. But the problem is, why aren't we concerned? Shemi Yechata Gecholim. That's one of the great gezeiros that Chazal ever instituted. They were very worried about gezeiros Shemi Yechata Gecholim. Ordinarily on Yontif, it's a moot point. But says the Gemara, now I have a problem on Yontif. Because you're going to use a keli, it will eventually become a shever keli. Once it's a shever keli, Shemi Yechata Gecholim. So you're benefiting now with Noila. You're benefiting from Muktzah. So why is that not a problem? So the Gemara says, Kidder Rav Masna, Ovek Kidder Rav Masna. You know what the workaround is? You have to do what Rav Masna said. Here's the lumbus. Rav Masna, Amar Rav. If someone had a tanner and it was situated right next to a tree, branches fell off the tree and landed inside the tanner on Yontif. So Rav Masna said in the name of Rav, Marbe Eitzem Uchon Masikin, that if you want to use it, meaning you have a problem, Rav Yehuda holds it's Noilat, for sure. So this is a classic Noilat. A branch fell off a tree on Yontif. So you had to use it as fire. You know what the Teretz is? Bittel Beroiv. You could take other Eitzim that were Muchonim, that were prepared already from before Yontif, add it on, turn it into a roiv. Being that roiv, not mukta, the mukta could be batal b'roiv. Being that the mukta is batal b'roiv, so that's why it's going to work. Says the Gemara of Akirat Masna, in our Gemara, you can do the same exact etza. Meaning, you know when you're allowed to use a keli? You're only allowed to use a keli if you add on top of it and you mevatal b'roiv. The point is, if you mevatal b'roiv, so then even if you're going to go then and stoke the shivrei kelim, it's not going to be an issue. The reason it's not going to be an issue is because the shivrei kelim are going to be batal b'roiv. So before we go weiter, just to exhale again for one moment, and that is, so the Gemara said that if somebody has a tanur, a branch of a tree falls into the tanur on Yontif, you want to light a fire now, you can't. Because if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, the branches are noilad, it's mukta, so you're not allowed to benefit from it. There's a workaround. You know what the etza is? Mar be'etza mukhanim u'masika. What you do is you can add on other etzim that are mutter. Once you add on other etzim that are mutter, it's going to be a bittel b'roiv. Once it's bittel b'roiv, it's going to be mutter. There's two very obvious questions that you have to ask on this gemara. The first is the most obvious, and that is, what happened to Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila? In the sugi's of bittel, the most basic halacha is that a person is not allowed to take a tipas cholov and put it into a kedei rabasar. You're not allowed to set up a situation of bittel. Bittel is only if it happens. Bidyeved, if it happened to happen, so then you can rely on bittel. But everyone knows the halacha of emavat l'nisal l'katchila. The second kasha is that the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechtes Beya that any time you have a davar sheyesh le'matirin, and this is also Taruvus 101, you can't rely on bittel. So anything that would be mutter without bittel, you're not allowed to rely on bittel. If it's a davar sheyesh le'matirin, mukta is a classic davar sheyesh le'matirin, because mukta is only a problem on yontif. Once it's not yontif anymore, there's no issue of mukta. So it's a davar sheyesh le'matirin. A kezayis nevela, that is a davar she'ein loy matirim. It's never going to be mutter. So if it's never going to be mutter, there you have bittel b'roi. Bas of a chalav will never be mutter. If it will never be, it doesn't matter if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Doesn't matter what day of the calendar it is. It's never mutter. If it's never mutter, there you have the halacha bittel b'roi. But any davar she'yesh loy matirim, there's no halacha bittel. So if there's no halacha bittel, what happened to bittel b'roi? So two kashas. Number one, what happened to eim mevatlin issa l'katchila? And number two, what happened to bittel b'roi? And the truth is, on the eim mevatlin issa l'katchila level, just to chazer over a good yusoid, This is really an Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila D'Oiraisa. Not just an Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila D'Rabbanan. Meaning, the Issa to be Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila, according to almost all the Rishonim, is an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Rajba in Perek Yid HaNoshim Masechtas Chulin brings the Shitas HaRaivit that the Rishach quotes in the Sugis of Yeridea, who holds that Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila is an Issa D'Oiraisa. It's not an Issa D'Rabbanan. But according to all the Rishonim, Rashi, Tosfos, the Rambam, all the Rishonim hold Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Stating that, it's Yodua that the Chsam Sofer and the Noida B'Yehuda in Tshuvas both were mechavim to the same Yisoid, and that is that the only time Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila is merely an Issa D'Rabbanan, that's where the Taruvos is Lach B'Lach. But with the Taruvos is Yavish B'Yavish, everyone holds, said the Noida B'Yehuda and the Chsam Sofer, that Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila is an Issa D'Raisa. So if the Taruvos becomes one, Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila is an Issa D'Rabbanan. But if they remain separate, it's a Yavish B'Yavish, five sandwiches got mixed up. They didn't become one. You just don't know which is which. Hence the taruvas. Over there, everybody holds Eim Mevatlin Issa L'Katchila is D'Oraisa. And the Noida B'Yehuda and the Chsam Sofer both brought the same raya. The raya is from the halacha of a nevela and the halacha of a treifa. The Torah says, if you have a treifa, what do you do with it? Like kelov tashlichan oisai. If you have an avela, what do you do with it? Leger hashem b'sharecha t'tnen av ochelo. Frank, the Noida B'Yehuda and the Chsam Sofer, I don't understand. Why do you have to give it away? Why are you being mafsid your good food? I have such an easy workaround. Take the treifa, close your eyes, be mevatel it, and now ein mevatel it. And what's the problem? So you're going to have, you'll have a bittel. You'll be able to benefit from it. What are you going to tell me? Ein mevatel it, nisle katchila? Ein mevatel nisle katchila is a din derabonon. It's not a din deraisa. So why did the Torah, on the deraisa, on the biblical level, why did the Torah say, take your treifa and throw it to the dogs, take the nevela and give it to your ger toishav? Why do you have to give it away for? Why can't you just be mevatelet? Ein mevatel islet katchila, that's a rabbinic institution that happened thousands of years later. What does it have to do with the din in the Torah of having to give it away? Said the Noida B'Yehuda and the Chsam Sofer, muzayin. It must be that ein mevatel islet katchila by a taruvas yavish b'yavish is not a din derabbanan. It's really a din deraisa. Now our sugi is a taruvas yavish b'yavish. See, if taruvas yavish b'yavish, you're mixing up a bunch of woods. So in l'churav, it's a taruvas yavish b'yavish, marbal of etzim, and that's the teretz, that's the workaround. How can you be marbal etzim? What happened to Eim Avat and Lissel Katchila? What happened to the fact that Muktzah is a davar sheyeshloi matirim? Either way, the Gemara returns to the regular program, which was the Mishnah. The Mishnah which mentioned the machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Two machloikis in between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Upsilas habeged shekipla v'loy hivava. Number one, is it makabel tumah or is it not makabel tumah? Number two, can you use it for Shabbos or can you not use it for Shabbos? Up until this point, we had two explanations as to what the machlokes may be, whether you can use it for Shabbos or can't use it for Shabbos. We had one explanation as to why there would be a machlokes, whether it's mekabel tumah or not mekabel tumah. The Gemara says, Rav Amnuna Amar, Rav Amnuna is going to give a second explanation as to what the machlokes may be, as to why this psilas habega shekipla v'lehivava should be mekabel tumah or should not be mekabel tumah. And again, just to hold the cheshbon, when we started the Gemara had no issue with that machlokes. It seemed very intuitive to the Gemara what they're arguing about, right? The Gemara started bishloima. That's the easy part of the Gemara, as we'll see. That's really the hard part of the Gemara. But it started off, that was the easy part of the Gemara. The machlokes is keep a mile, keep a later mile. Do you look at it as a bag? Do you look at it as a psila? If it's a bag, it's mekabel tumah. If it's a psila, it's not mekabel tumah. Rav Amnuna had a different teretz. He said hacha bepachlis mishloish al shloisha, not shloish al shloish, but we return to shloish al shloisha askinan umikule matloni yashanu. And we weren't just talking about any beged; we were talking about a beged that the owner of the beged decided was going to use for something that's not very chashav. The Gemara will give examples, like to wipe something with. He wasn't using it as a tie, something that he was going to wear to make him look good. It was going to be used for a dover cow. Mikule matlonios. That's what he was going to use it for. Now again, just to review. The minimum shear that a beged has to be in order for it to be makabel tumah is shalosh al shalosh. Gimel etzbois al gimel etzbois. There is another shear in terms of tumas begadim, and that is not shalosh al shalosh, but rather shloisha al shloisha. Not three etzbois by three etzbois, rather three tfachim by three tfachim, which is obviously a lot bigger. So those are the two shear. What's the difference between a beged that shalosh al shalosh and a beged that shloisha al shloisha? When it's shalosh al shalosh, only Aniyim would use it. When it's Shloish al Shloisha, it's Chazi Bein L'Aniyim Bein L'Ashirim. Ashirim would use it as well. As a result, it's a Mochash V'Beged. Up until now, when we learned Daf Chavav and Daf Chav Zayin, the Gemara made a distinction between the two Begadim as it related to a Beged that's made up of a material that's neither Tzemer or Pishtim. is that Begin Mekabel Tumah or not? And there were nuances. It depends if it's Shloisha al Shloisha or if it's less than Shloisha al Shloisha. Here we have another nafkemina between a Beged that meets the minimum requirement, it's Shloisha al Shloisha, but it doesn't meet the next level. It's not Shloisha al Shloisha. And as we'll see, there's a nafkemina in Halacha, specifically with regards to a Beged that Shloisha al Shloisha. It meets the minimum. It's not shloisha al shloisha. It doesn't meet the mahadran share. It's a beged that you, in your mind, decided to use for something that's not very chashuv. Says the Gemara, okay. Va'oz the Rabbi Eliezer l'tameh, for Rabbi Akiva l'tameh. And once we make this akimta, we'll be able to plug in another Rabbi Eliezer, another Rabbi Akiva. It'll be Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva l'shitasai. And says Rav Amnuna, you'll see that's the hesber in the machlekes in our mishnah. Says the Gemara to town. What's that mishnah? Pachis mishleisha shleisha. If somebody had a beged that was less than three tefachim by three tefachim, chaskinu lefakik boyesa merchetz. Somebody designated it because what he wants to do is he wants to plug a hole in a merchetz. You have a merchetz. There's water coming out of a hole, and you're using this to plug. A hole. Or you need it to hold a hot kedera. Hold a hot kedera, you're going to get burned. So you use a towel. That's what you're using this bag for. Or you used it to clean the rechayim. Bein min hamuchan ubein she'ein min hamuchan tamin. So if you had this bag, and now you changed your mind that you want to use this bag for something chashuv. It's not shloisha al shloisha. Till now it wasn't mekabel tumah. Because a beged that's not shloisha al shloisha, even though ordinarily it's mekabel tumah, but if you designated it to be used as something really inferior, it's not mekabel tumah. But now you changed your mind. So whether it was muchan or enoy muchan, we'll see exactly what that means in the Gemara. Tameh, it's going to be tameh div Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua says, if you had that beged and now you changed your mind, ben minah muchan, ben shalom minah muchan, tahar. It's going to be tahar. Rabbi Akiva says, it depends. Minah muchan tameh, shalom minah muchan tahar. So you have three shittas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, muchan, not muchan tameh. According to Rabbi Yeshua, muchan, not muchan tahar. According to Rabbi Akiva, it depends. Muchan tameh, shalom. So what's going on over here? Everybody agrees. Meaning everybody agrees. If you had that beged, that's not shloisha al shloisha. It was used as a shmata, and now you decided that I'm going to throw it in the garbage. Everybody agrees it's tahar. It was not mekabel tumah because it wasn't shloisha al shloisha. Even though usually it doesn't have to be shloisha al shloisha, but mikule matlonios, it does have to be shloisha al shloisha. You changed your mind and decided what? That it should be garbage? You certainly didn't upgrade it. As a result, it's weiter not going to be mekabel tumah. In Icha B'Kufs, everybody agrees that if you decided that, you know what, I want to put it in a very safe place because I'm going to use it for something chashuv, then divriyak kol tameh, everyone agrees it's tameh. Tap Rashi. Goli daite the chashuv, like, because you showed it's chashuv. So if you showed it's chashuv, it's going to be mekabel tumah. Loi nechleku, what's the machlokes? Shetoli b'mago, you did something in between. You hung it on a hook, a peg. So you put it behind the door. The question is that considered that I'm showing that I think it's chashuv, I want it, so even though it's not shloisha al shloisha, it'll be mekabel tumah, or no? Meaning, I didn't put it in a kufsa, I didn't put it in a safe place, but then again, I didn't throw it in the garbage. I'm somewhere in between. How do I view that? Rabbi Eliezer holds, middle zarke ba'ashpa, daite yulove. Being that you didn't throw it into the garbage, it shows that you really want it. And as a result, Rabbi Eliezer says, the halacha is that it's going to be mekabel tumah. Now, going back to Rabbi Eliezer's Lashon, what did Rabbi Eliezer say? That bein min hamuchan, bein she'ein min hamuchan tameh. So now we have a better understanding of what these words mean. Muchan means you put it away. It was dedicated for something inferior. You decided you're going to use it for something chashav. Muchan means you put it in the kufsa. Ein min hamuchan means you just put it on a hook, or you put it behind the door. Rabbi Eliezer holds in either case, it's going to be tameh. Now the Gemara says, if ein min hamuchan is tameh because it's considered as if you put it in the box, I might correlate shleim min hamuchan. So why did Rabbi Eliezer physically refer to it as ein min hamuchan? What's the difference between putting it on a hook or putting it in a kufsa? So Gemara says, you're right, halachically there is no difference, but the legabi kufsa lab muchanu. Relative to putting it in the kufsa, it's not muchan. That's why using the word ein min hamuchan loosely, Rabbi Eliezer said that it's lav muchan. Rabbi Shua saw it. Rabbi Shua argues. He takes the exact opposite position of Rabbi Eliezer. He holds middle nicha b'kufsa b'tuli batla. Being that you didn't put it in the kufsa, meaning the case when you hung it on a hook or you put it behind the door. Being that you didn't put it in the kufsa, it's like throwing it in the garbage. And that's what halacha is. It's going to be tar. And that's why Rabbi Shua said bein min hamuchan bein ein min hamuchan is tar. What did he mean when he said muchan? He meant when you put it on the hook or you put it behind the door. What did he mean when he said ena min hamuchan? He meant you threw it in the garbage. Meaning the words muchan and ena muchan mean different things according to Rabbi Eliezer than they mean according to Rabbi Shua. But the point is, says the Gemara, so Rabbi Shua says muchan and not muchan are both betule batle. So why then does he refer to Mukhan as Mukhan? Meaning, what's Rabbi Yeshua's Mukhan? You put it on the hook, you put it behind the door, it's as if you threw it in the garbage, so it's really ain't a Mukhan. So the Gemara says, am I Karli Mukhan? Same answer. The Lagabi Ashma Mukhan. Relative to the Ashba, it's Mukhan. Either way, it's according to Rabbi Yezer, if you would hang it on a hook, you would hang it behind the door, you did something to make it look chashev, but you didn't do something dramatic, you didn't put it in the kufsa, that's enough, it would be Mekabel Tumah. According to Rabbi Yeshua, it would not be Mekabel Tumah. Rabbi Akiva is an in-between shita. He says, betalei b'magod, if you put it on a hook, then it is Mekabel Tumah. He's really splitting hairs. But if you put it behind the door, then it's like Rabbi Yeshua, then the halacha is that it won't be Mekabel Tumah. In other words, there's a difference between the hook and between behind the door. Either way, says the Gemara, you want to know what the Hesber in the Machloikis is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah. It's the same exact Machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in that Mishnah that we just mentioned, that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. Our Mishnah is talking about a Psilas HaBeged, but not any Psilas HaBeged, a Psilas HaBeged that was less than Shloisha HaShloisha, that you originally intended to use for something very inferior, and then you hung it on a hook, and then you put it behind your door, and now it became Tomei, and the question is it Mekabel Tumah or is it not Mekabel Tumah? Rabbi Eliezer said Tmei, Rabbi Eliezer L'shitasa, he holds that's enough to show Chashivas, it's Mekabel Tumah. Rabbi Kiva said Tahira, Rabbi Kiva L'shitasa, he holds that it's going to be Tahar. Now, if that's the case, speak out to Rishonim, the Psila, the fact that it's a wick is lav dafka. The fact that it was kipla v'lohivava is also lav dafka. Major doichik in the Mishnah. This machloikis is the same machloikis in the Mishnah in Kehillah. That Mishnah doesn't say anything about wicks. Doesn't say anything about folded and not singed. The reason we're talking about psilois and kiplas and lohivavas is because we're learning peripamem adlikin at the end of the day. And as a result, it's negeya the other machloikis, whether you can use it for Shabbos or not. That's where it's negeya a wick. That's where it's negeya of lohivava. But as relates to the tum of it, the hira machloikis, it has nothing to do with a psila. It's any beggar that's less than shloishal shloisha, which is mikume machlonios. You now hung it on a hook, you put it behind the door, what would be the halacha? Rabbi Eliezer l'shitasa holds, it's tamei. Rabbi Akiva l'shitasa holds, it's tar. Says the Gemara, one more wrinkle, we're not done. V'hadar bei Rabbi Akiva l'gabed Rabbi Yeshua. But this only works if we say that Rabbi Akiva was chayzer in his sheet in that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, and he came around to Rabbi Yeshua. What were the three sheetas? According to Rabbi Eliezer, hook, behind the door, tamei. According to Rabbi Yeshua, hook, behind the door, tahar. Rabbi Akiva was mechal. Rabbi Akiva said, if you hang it on a hook, Tamei. If you put it behind the door, it's going to be Tahar. Says the Gemara, this Cheshbin only works if Rabbi Amnuna, if Rabbi Kiva came around to Rabbi Yeshua, and he holds that not only if you put it behind the door, it's Tahar, but even if you hang it on the hook, it's going to be Tahar. Now, at first glance, it's Tzarech Bir. Why do you have to say that? If we're making up what the Machloikis is in our Mishnah, and we're saying that the Machloikis is related to that Mishnah Masechtas Kelim, and you have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, so just say the Machloikis is where you hung it behind the door, not on the hook. We know Rabbi Akiva holds when you hang it behind the door like Rabbi Yeshua. He holds Tahar. So Machloikis is where you hung it behind the door. The Gemara is not happy with that, because the Gemara obviously thinks that our Mishnah is not distinguishing between hooks and doors. And if there's a machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah without mentioning a word about hooks and doors, and Rabbi Akiva said Tahar, he would hold Tahar whether you did something insignificant like hanging it behind the door or something maybe a drop more significant as hanging it on a hook. And if Rabbi Akiva said Tahar in both cases, must be Hadabir Rabbi Akiva the Rabbi Yeshua that he holds like Rabbi Yeshua. But the Gemara says, Mimai, why do you have to say that? Maybe the Machloikis is Dafka where you hung it behind the door. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, because Midik Tani Psilas HaBeged. The Mishnah said Psilas HaBeged. My ear, you the Tani Psilas HaBeged. And even though we're talking about a Psila that was made from a Beged, because that's for sure the other Machloikis, Rabbi Lez, Rabbi Akiva. But listening Psilas Shel Beged, the more accurate grammar would have been to say psila of a beged, because usually you don't take a whole beged and make a psila out of it. You take the beged and from it you make a psila. The psila is shell beged, it's from the beged. My psila is ha beged. Why do you say psila is ha beged? That dying beged who? So it's almost like a drasha in a Mishnah. Usually drashas are in psukim. The point that we're trying to make is that the reason the psila is tummy according to Rabbi Eliezer is because we look at the beged as being a beged, because you gave it the chashivas of a beged, which makes it sound like any little thing you can do to give it the chashivas of a beged would be enough to make it a beged. If Rabbi Akiva says tar, it sounds like anything you would do to make it a beged, if it's only a little, it's not something as dramatic as putting it in a kufsa, it wouldn't be considered a beged. If that's the case, it sounds like it wouldn't be a beged whether you put it me'achari adalas or if you put it on this mug and you put it on the hook. If that's the case, Rabbi Akiva ends up holding like Rabbi Yeshua. If that's the case, hadabei Rabbi Akiva, lagabi Rabbi Yeshua, exhale for the third time. So basically what comes out is that we had a machloikis and a mishnah on daf chav ches amid beis. When you learn mishnayis, this is easy. When you learn gemara, it's a little more challenging. Psilas ha-beged, shekip lov lehivavah. Somebody had a psila, you folded it over, but you didn't singe it. Two machloikis in between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Akiva. Number one, is it makabel tumah, is it not makabel tumah? Rabbi Lezer says it is, Rabbi Akiva says it's not. Number two, could you use it for Shabbos, can you not use it for Shabbos? Rabbi Lezer says you cannot, Rabbi Akiva says you can. And really, after going through today's daf, what came out is this two hesberim, two explanations in what the machloikis regarding tumah is, and two explanations with regards to mata machloikis regarding Shabbos is. As it relates to tumah, there is the easy, the bishloimah that the Gemara started with, the simple explanation. Do we look at this psila as a psila, in which case it's not makabel tumah, or do we look at it as a baguette, in which case it's makabel tumah? It's in the process of converting, so how do you look at it? Is it a baguette or is it the second machloikis that we had was the last thing we just said, Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna said this really has nothing to do with psilois and has nothing to do with kipla and hivava. It's related to a mishnah, a very obscure mishnah, in Masechtas Kelim, that talks about a beged that's not shloisha al shloisha, mikule matlonios, it's not mekabel tumah. If you do a little something, maybe it will be mekabel tumah. Machloikis Rav Lezer, Rabbi Akiva, it's the same machloikis Rav Lezer, Rabbi Akiva over there. But by the way, Rabbi Akiva had to be chayzer, and he has to hold like Rabbi Shua held in that mishnah. Okay? As it relates to the machloikis of whether you can use it for Neir Shabbos, whether it's falls into the category of Bameh Madlikin or falls into the category of Bameh Madlikin. So again, we have two explanations. The simple explanation was, if you have a wick that you didn't singe, can you use it for Shabbos or not? Rabbi Akiva holds you can. Rabbi Eliezer says you cannot. The more complicated hesber was, they're arguing whether kipul mayil or kipul enay mayil, and based on all the akimtas, gimel al gimel eth, Mitzum Tzomois, Yontav Shcholias B'Shabbos, Masikim B'Kelim Bein Masikim B'Shivrei Kelim, and Amadlik Tzarech She'yadlik B'Roiv HaYotzi. A little bit more, says the Mishnah Vayter. So once upon a time, Mitzias, as the background for the Mishnah, Neiros, candles, would often have a reservoir of oil that was used, where oil would drip into the lamp, so that like this, there was always a backup. You always had enough oil. So picture a little keli where you have oil, you have a wick, and you attach a reservoir where that oil is going to drip from into this other keli. So like this, you have a constant fire. Says the Mishnah, this is something that you're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to attach, affix to your leichter that you're going to use to light candles on Shabbos. Even though neiros and candelabras and candles always had that, but for Shabbos it's a problem. You're not allowed to use it for Shabbos. The reason you're not allowed to use it for Shabbos, speak it outside first, is because the halach is you're not allowed to remove shemen from a fire on Shabbos. If someone adds shemen to a fire on Shabbos, he's chayav for maver. If somebody removes shemen from a fire on Shabbos, he's chayav mishum mechavah. The chamah were worried that maybe someone's going to think that to remove shemen from the reservoir is not a problem. To remove it from the neir, yeah, I understand that's an issue. But to remove it from the reservoir, why should that be a problem? So you know what the Chacham said? I'm worried about that. Don't use it because people might think it's okay to remove it, and really it's not. It's the same mechaba as it is if you would remove it from the neir itself. And that's why the Chacham said it's a problem. Stating that, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah will see holds its mutter. So that's the Mishnah. A person's not allowed to take an eggshell, make a hole in it, and fill it up with oil, and put it on top of the ner as a reservoir so that oil will drip in. Like this, you'll have a little bit of backup. So that it should drip in. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Additionally, even if the shveiferes wasn't an eggshell, but it was made of earthenware, even that's not okay. The Gemara will explain what the chiddush is. Rabbi Yehuda Matar, Rabbi Yehuda says both cases as mutter. But let's say the yoitzer, you're a potter, and you attach the reservoir to the ner, meaning it's not an external reservoir, but it's actually attached, then it's mutter, because then it's all one keli. Again, we'll see what that means in the Gemara. You're not allowed to take a plate or a bowl, fill it up with oil, put it next to the candle, and then attach the top of the wick and let it go into that ka'ara where the oil is, so that it will draw oil into the wick. So this was a similar concept to what we mentioned earlier. People would sometimes take a ka'ara, put it, again, a picture's worth 1,000 words, but put it into a ka'ara, if you can see that, but put it into a ka'ara and fill it up with oil, draw the psila, psilas aruchos, like we had earlier in the parak, put it into the shemen and let it draw out oil. That's also a problem. Rabbi Yehuda mat, Rabbi Yehuda says that this is going to be mutter as well. So if you do the math, there were three machlokes in between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim and the Mishnah regarding a very similar halacha. If you have an eggshell, you fill it up with oil, you're going to use it as a reservoir. Oil is going to drip into the nair. Can I light candles that way for Shabbos? Thank you. Or can I not light candles that way for Shabbos? Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, Chum says no. If you want to use a kli cheres, Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, Chum says no. What if you want to have it in a ka'ara, as an external, like literally on the side, you have a ka'ara, and you can have a long psila, so it's not even a traditional reservoir. Is that good or not? Again, Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, Chum says no. The Gemara says, the tzrichi needed all three cases. The Yeshmina Shveferi Shal Beitza, had we only had the case of the Shveferi Shal Beitza, would have told Balkami Rabbanon. Did the Rabbanon said it's a problem to keep it alone? Isa Asilis Tapukimina. Because what's the problem? Why are you not allowed to use it? We said, because we're afraid that someone's going to draw Shemin from it. Now, why are you never afraid someone's going to take Shemin? You should never be able to light candles for Shabbos. Shema Yestapik Mimena, and you'll be over in Mechaba. No, people know not to do Mechaba. But over here, people may think it's Mechaba because I'm not taking it from the Nair, I'm taking it from the reservoir. Avashal Cheres says the Gemara, but if the keli was made out of earthenware, the me'is, it's disgusting. People don't usually eat out of earthenware if they don't have to. Say, maybe they're moida to Rabbi Yehuda, maybe they would say it's mutter because there's no cheshash. Shemi is stopping him. Yes, Avashal Cheres had we only had the machlokes by Cheres, I would have said, Behakam Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter because it's disgusting. Avabahi, in the case of the Shvei Feresh al Beitza, there's nothing disgusting about Emma Moida Lurabah. We had those two machlokes, the Mahani coming, Rabbi Yehuda, Mishun Loi Mifsik. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda says it's a problem because there's no hefsik between the reservoir and the ner. Avul ka'ara, but if it's in a plate, the mifsik over there is a hefsik. Maybe there'd be made the rabbanon. Yes, had we had only the case of the ka'ara, Bahi coming, rabbanon. Maybe only the rabbanon would say, Avul bahanach tarti, Emma Moida Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe the other two, they'd be made Rabbi Yehuda. That it's mutter, says the Gemara. Tzricha. That's why we needed all the different machlokes in to explain the different variables. If the yoitza would attach it, then it would be mutter. Tana im chibra besidu b'charos is mutter. When we say attach it, you don't need a professional to do it. Even if you would attach it with clay or with plaster, that would be mutter as well. Meaning you could do it in your garage, that's considered attaching it. You could do it in an amateur way. Faith the Gemara v'anan yoitzer tana. Didn't the Mishnah say yoitzer? So the Gemara says, my yoitzer ke'en yoitzer. When it says yoitzer, it doesn't mean literally yoitzer, it means ke'en yoitzer. So the Gemara is now going to end with a few stories. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so we had a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether it's okay to use a lamp for Shabbos where there's a reservoir of oil. According to Chachamim, it's not okay. There's a gzeres shem yistapik mimeno, and that's mechaba. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter. There's no such concern. Said Rabbi Yehuda, story. Pamachas shabseinu ba'aliyas beis nitzah b'lod. We once spent Shabbos in the attic in beis nitzah. That was the name of this fellow, Nitzah, in Lud. And we had a fire that Shabbos, and you know what the fire had? It had a reservoir. And you know what the reservoir was? It was our Mishnah. It was a Shveifer Shal Beitzah. Said Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Tarfin was there. Viskeinim and all the Skeinim were there. Nobody said anything. So Rabbi Yehuda said, this is a Raya, I'm right. You know my Raya is? Rabbi Tarfin. Incidentally, Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas is always bringing Rayas from stories. So he's always bringing rayas from stories. So Rabbi Yehuda said, "Have a meister shahoy." Rabbi Tarfin was dead. He didn't object. Amalei, they told him, "Sham raya, bringing a raya from that story." Shani beis nitzah is reason. Hey, beis nitzah is a chashuv a younger man. I know who he is. Says the Gemara, they were chashuv a chevra there. These were all chashuvim. There was no gzeira shem yichab over there. That's where Rabbi Tarfin didn't make the gzeira. But ordinarily, Rabbi Tarfin would have made the gzeira. So the Gemara makes a very interesting observation. It says, "Where Abin Tzipayra, Abin." Who came from Tzipori? Garis Safsala Belisa de Shesha, Le'elam Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. He once schlepped a safsal, a bench, on the ground. The ground was made of marble, it was like a granite floor, and it was in the presence of Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar. On Malays, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar said like this: what he did is not wrong. He didn't do anything wrong. Now, background to this halacha. This machlokes Rabbi Yitzchak ben Shimon, if you're allowed to schlep a safsal on the ground, what's the tzad you shouldn't be able to? Because you're going to make a ditch. If you make a ditch, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos, either Baino or Chayresh. Now, the reason Rav Shimon holds its mutter, the reason anybody would hold its mutter, is because it's not really your intention. It's a davishayin mischavin. It's also not a segresha. So Rav Yehuda holds its mutter because davishayin mischavin is mutter. Rav Yehuda holds its aser because Rav Yehuda holds that davishayin mischavin is aser. Now, what happened over here was something similar, but not the same. Very different. He was schlepping it on a marble floor. If it was on a marble floor, he's not making any ditches. So if he's not making any ditches, even Rabbi Yehuda would hold its mutter. Everyone holds its mutter. There's nothing to do with Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. But Rabbi Eliezer ben Elazar saw this and he said, I have no choice. I have to be moicha. I'm like, ishtuki lach kideshtiku lechav raya, the Rabbi Yehuda, because if I'm going to be quiet, like Rabbi Tarfin and the Skeinim were quiet, in the presence of Rabbi Yehuda when they brought out the reservoir with the Shishveres Shal Shemen. Nafik minei churban. There may be a churban because I realize now that people sometimes get confused with stories. Rabbi Yehuda brought a raya from a maisa and he got it wrong, said Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar. He thought that because Rabbi Tarfa wasn't meicha with the Shishveres Shal Shemen, must be it's not a problem. Really was a problem. But the Shani based Nitzah because there was risen. So Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar said, even though I know this yid's not doing anything wrong, this oven who comes from Tzipayri, but I'm going to be meicha because people may get confused one day. They're going to say, I saw it happen in the presence of Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar and he was a meicha. Little they know, it was a granite floor. This happened on a mud floor. It's very distant. Therefore, he went ahead and he was meicha. Reish Knishta de Batzra, Garis Afsal Le'idim Rabbi Yirmiya. The Reish Akinesis of Batzra once slept a bench in the presence of Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Amalei. So he told him, come on, Rabbi Shimon. Oh, you hold like Rabbi Shimon. So he said, hey, but I'm Rabbi Shimon, big dog. Rabbi Shimon say it's mutter that to schlep because of David Shein Meschav. And that's only if it's a very large item that you're schlepping. Because it's not Efsha. But Biktanim Yomar, maybe Rabbi Shimon never said his Allah of David Shein Meschav if the thing that you're schlepping is something small. The Gemara says, oh, plegu the Ula, that Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba, or Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba, not Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba. What Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba said, that Rabbi Shimon only said his Allah where it's difficult to schlep it, that's to carry it. That's why you allowed your schlep it. It's not like Ula. Amar Ula, Machlekes Biktanim. Ula said just the opposite. Machlekes was dafka by something small. Ava Bigdon never called Mutter. But if it's big, everyone holds its Mutter. Says, Mas Rabbi Yot, Reyes asked the Kasha. He heard Rabbi Yirmiya Rabba say that the Machlekes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda was dafka by something big. Then he heard the Rabbi Yosef say, then he heard the next man, the Amar, say that the Machlekes is dafka if it's something small. So Rabbi Yosef said, they're both wrong, I think. The Machlekes is not only by something big and not only by something small. Most of Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon says, "Goyim other meet the keys of a safsel. You're allowed to schlep a bed, a chair, and a bench. With actually yischav and lasis charetz. Now you said k'tani g'doylim, k'tani k'tanim. It says a mita which is big. It says a safsel." Or a kisei, which is small. Kashu l'travayu. Meaning, you see the machlokes is both big and both small. They're not arguing only when it's small. They're not arguing only when it's big. They're always arguing. So the Gemara says, Ula mitaretz l'tameh v'remir mir rabbi mitaretz l'tameh. They both can answer according to their respective opinions. Ula mitaretz l'tameh, mita d'mida kisei. He holds that the machlokes is only when it was something small. If it's big, everyone agrees it's mutter. Aye, it says mita. Mita d'mida kisei. Rabir mir rabbi mitaretz l'tameh. Kisei d'mida mita. He holds the machlokes is only when it's something big. If it's small, even Rabbi Shimon holds it's not okay. Aye, it says kisei. Yeah, but it also says mita. Kisei to mita, only if it's a big chair. Masav Rabba, meichrik sos, kidarka, meichrik sos, meichrim kidarka, rabachal yischavin, becham ne'achav, becham ne'achavim. So in the olden days, when people sold suits, so you'd walk into the suit store, the salesman was actually wearing the suit. He was wearing the clothing. So they didn't have mannequins wearing it. The salesman himself was the one that was wearing it. What happens if the suit that you're selling is shotness? Are you allowed to wear it just to show your clothing to the potential customers? So it's a halacha. They are. Meichrik sos, meichrim kidarka. Don't worry about shatness. Ubavad, just don't have kavanah. Meaning, don't have a mind if it's cold and you're wearing a coat. Don't have a mind to be warm with it. That's snuim. The snuim afshilim emakal achareim. They wouldn't wear it. They did it in some other way. Now, who are we going according to? This is Rav Shimon 101, who holds Davar Sheni Meschavin as Mutter, who, by the way, holds Davar Sheni Meschavin as Mutter not only in Hilchah Shabbos, but in other areas in Halach as well. Because if you don't hold like Rav Shimon, you hold Davar Sheni Meschavin as Asar. Who cares if you didn't have Kavanah? At the end of the day, you're wearing Shatnez. Says the Gemara V'Hacha, with going according to Rav Shimon, and the Efshalim Mevit Kitznuin. If you want, you don't have to wear it. You can do what the Tznuin said, which means the Chiktanim Dami. It's similar to a small chair. V'chiloi mischavin shari Rav Shimon l'katchila. And still Rav Shimon said it's mutter. Tiyufta de Rav Yirmiya Rabba tiyufta. If that's the case, Rav Yirmiya bar Rabba is up kefret. What did Rav Yirmiya Rabba say? That the only time Rav Shimon said Davar Sheni Meschavin is mutter is if you don't have a choice. But if it's something small, you can carry it. Don't schlep the chair if you can carry it. Oh, G'daylim, you can't carry it, so you're allowed to schlep it. But if it's something that you can carry, you'd be obligated to carry it. You see from here, not that way. Because Rav Shimon allows you, Davar Sheni Meschavin, to wear a suit of shatnez as long as you don't have kavanah, even though you don't have to do it. V'haraya, there's suit stores where the salesmen are not wearing the suits. So it's possible not to do it, which means it's dumya diktanim, and still Rav Shimon's halacha of Davar Sheni Meschavin was stated, must be tiyufta de Rav Yirmiya Barabba, tiyufta de Rav Yirmiya Rabba. Tiyufta, we will end here. And again, the next four dafin is going to be some intense agada to Gemara. Some of the most famous agada to Gemaras in Shas. So we have some hashtag really nice dafin and some light dafin with light raid coming up in the coming days.